Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, will you let me go a little unscheduled because I just had a thought and I wanted to test it out. I wanted to see if y'all will actually be interactive this morning, okay? Our kids weren't quite awake yet and not quite interactive, so let's see if y'all will be interactive. And I want to know what kinds of music or musical groups or styles that you enjoy. Should we start with the choir? I never get to look at you. Choir, what kind of music do you like? Barry's going, me, me, me. Barry, what do you love? Oh, hi, Barry. Barbershop for Barry. Jazz. Classical. These are all the kinds of responses I expected from the choir. Any unexpected ones in the choir? Classic rock. Okay, there we go. Any others? No country western in the choir?
Yet.
What was that?
Yet.
Yet?
Yet.
Yet. Russian stuff. Okay. I haven't heard that yet, but maybe. All right, congregation, the choir's warmed us up. What kind of music or musical groups do you enjoy? Jazz, all right, thank you, Vincy. Oldies, okay. Country, there's our country person. Esther, you're usually sitting back here. Where were you to represent country in the choir? What other kinds of music?
Bagpipes,
all right. R&B, there we go. Look at that, we are a diverse and caring community. Reggae, yes. Others, how about the back of the church? Irish, we are getting diverse. Filipino music. How did we get 10 minutes in before we got to Filipino music? All right, one last one. See, I say one last one, and everybody speaks. Ray, what was yours down here? Or...
Demon is a classical Filipino song.
A classical Filipino song.
Kundiman.
Kundiman. You know, hear music, I thought I'd be able to pronounce what people say. And then you got to bring Filipino song titles. There was something back here. What else? Heavy metal, there we go. Gotta have at least one in every crowd. Midori, what's your favorite kind of music?
Everything.
Everything, there we go. Well, I like quite a variety of music. I love to listen to it. I can't sing it, okay? You know, no matter what it is. And I will tell you, secrets into my past, I had a really bad experience in junior high being at church camp. Having a boy literally laugh out loud at my singing. And I used to sing and think I could, and that experience just literally broke me. And it was like, okay, nobody will ever hear me sing out loud again, and I began mouthing words. Fortunately, I grew into an adult and at least got comfortable being laughed at, and so I'm willing now. And so here this morning, just perfect for today and today's theme. I'm in first service, and Lowell's warming up on the piano. I said, by the way, to warn you, Lowell, the communion liturgy, it has the verse of one of our Christmas hymns in it. Do you think you'd be able to play it, or should we speak it? And he said, which one? And I sung it. And there's one person sitting there in the friendship room, and she laughed out loud. And I said, well, at least we can laugh about this. No, on a microphone, I will not do it. But at least at this point, I'm willing to say the Lord didn't give me a singing voice, and you can laugh at me, and my feelings will never be hurt at this point. So it's when I really enjoy it, because I do enjoy singing. I do enjoy having words come from my mouth. I just like it to where the microphones and the volume of the speakers is loud enough that the person sitting next to me can't hear me sing, so then I can be comfortable. But I like a variety, and one of the things, when it comes to church, I consider myself bi-musical, Can we use this term? Can we accept it? Bi-musical, because I absolutely love and appreciate the hymns. I love the full pomp and circumstance to them when we get it. When I was back in Atlanta, Georgia, and was visiting Peachtree Road United Methodist Church. Okay, Peachtree Road is like 15,000 member United Methodist Church and like 2,000 people in worship in once. I mean, it's a huge church. And when those hymns play, oh my goodness, the hymns just go right down into your bones. And I love it. I love the hymns. I love singing them. I love participating in them. But at the same time, I love praise music. I absolutely love when I get to participate in praise services and hear them, whether it's acoustic with just a guitar or if it's the full band. I love it all. But what I love most is when I get the stories behind the music. When it's not just words that I like and words that speak to me and a music and a melody that kind of fits my mood that I'm in. But when I know what's behind the writing of it, what is the experience that led to it? This is one of the reasons that I like going to Christian concerts and hearing praise musicians play live, because you get some of those stories. You hear about their life experiences they've had that's led them to writing some of these songs. One that really touches me that I've gotten to see a couple times live, but is hearing the stories of an artist named Jeremy Camp. The most powerful being, if you don't know Jeremy Camp, he's a great praise musician that came out of San Diego, been around for a decade and a half or so. And Jeremy Camp, the heartbreaking story is that at 21 years old, he lost his newlywed wife to cancer. It was a shock, and it was a heartbreaking experience to him. And when you listen to his music and you hear the songs that came out of it, the songs that talk about the pains and the sorrows and the storms that he's gone through, but then you hear him talking about where Jesus and God is in those, of his ability to break through, God's ability to say that there's going to be a day with no more pain and no more sorrow when we get to see Jesus' face and we get to be together, that you get to know the experience that that came out of. This comes out of a young person that experienced loss. Like, most people don't experience that early, that kind of heartbreak, but to see how his faith propelled it through him. Now, married with kids on his own, songs that have come out of his wife having a miscarriage and losing that child. But there's a meaning to those songs. It wasn't just, you know, here's words that I like, here's a melody that I like, but here's my faith coming out in song from my heart to yours in hopes that it will help you in your faith journey. Now, in the hymnal, there's the same way. Unfortunately, we don't get the privilege of hearing the writers live telling us about them, but I love when I go into reading about where some of the hymns came from. And the hymn that I wanted to tell you the story about today, that's one that I find very moving as well, if you haven't heard it, is the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. It Is Well With My Soul was written by Horatio Spafford in 1873. And Horatio was a prominent lawyer. He had a wife and he had five kids, four daughters and one son. And he and his wife heartbreakingly lost their son to a tragic accident. And then one day his wife and his four daughters, they set sail to cross the Atlantic, and he was going to be following behind, but he had business to attend to. And as they were on the Atlantic and sailing, another ship collided with them, and their ship went down. Now, the story tells about the wife being out on the bow of the ship and praying to God to get them through, to be able to come and save them. But not long after she finished praying, the ship went down. But a rescue ship came by and found her clutching a piece of the wreckage alive. As soon as she had the ability, she sent a telegraph to her husband and informed him that she was all that had made it. Well, he immediately booked a ticket to be able to go and be with her. And he had told her, God's going to get us through this. And as he was traveling to go to be with his wife, to grieve in the loss of their four daughters, this is what he wrote. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. I read that and I sing that and I think, if he could go through that and have this kind of faith, why can't I do the same when I feel the losses and the griefs in my life? This is part of what music does for us. It speaks of experiences. It speaks about when God collides with his creation, when God's love breaks through tragedies. And through those songs, the stories are able to be shared and be able to inspire others to seek God in their difficult times. And in much the same way, when we have joy-filled times and we're able to sing about it in the same way to encourage others to find praise in God in those good times as well. And that's what we get in our text this morning. What do we get but one of our great songs of Christmas? Because we love the songs of Christmas, don't we? I mean, I don't know how many of you are sitting there and looking at the bulletin and saying, where's the Christmas carols, Pastor Stacy? Where's Hark the Herald? Where's Away in a Manger? Where's those songs that we love? And I promise you, over the next 2 weeks, we're going to sing every single one of them leading up to Christmas. We get one Sunday of the promise coming, and then we'll start celebrating next week with our children's pageant. But we love those songs because they tell the story. And this morning, we start with the story of the promised coming and the way that was prepared for Jesus. Because what do we get? We get Zechariah and Elizabeth. I mean, here's a couple that should be considered blessed, okay? Zechariah, a priest, okay? A servant of God. That should put him a notch above in the category of blessings in this day. Somebody who had devoted his life to serving the Lord and serving the temple. And not only is he a priest, but he married a priest's daughter, okay? Did you know that Elizabeth was the daughter of a priest? So here, you should have a blessed marriage. And how should it be blessed? But it should be blessed with children's abound, okay? Name them all, A through J, if you can, okay? That's how many they should have had. Get a couple people that laugh, at least. But here we go, they should be. Yet the years go by, and the decades go by, and Elizabeth remains barren, doesn't she? No child comes her way, and this couple just continues to be heartbroken, continues to be disappointed, continues to be able to believe that God will not be blessing them, that God has forgotten them, or God is mad at them, or God is punishing them, or God is just not caring enough to give them a child. But here in Elizabeth's old age, when they've already long forgotten children and given up on that one, here Zechariah gets a day where luck comes his way. You see, the priests would draw lots for the job of taking the incense into the temple on this day. And it's such a privileged task that if your name is drawn in the lot, it is permanently removed from the lot, so there's no chance that twice in your lifetime you would get drawn because it's so rare and so privileged. And so here on this day, Zechariah's name gets drawn, and it's like, oh, the Lord is looking favorably upon me today because my name has been called. And here he heads in with the incense. Here he comes to do his task in the temple, and what happens? But God comes into that place with him through the angel, right? Because that's what an angel is. God's presence, God's voice, God's word coming. And the angel comes and says, much like to Abraham and Sarah in our candle reading, your wife will have a child. It'll be a miracle because she is well past that age. But she will have a child, and he not only will be a miracle because of Elizabeth conceiving him at this time, but he will be a miracle because he will be the one to prepare the way for the Messiah. He will be the one to prepare people's hearts to receive my son, and that is the blessing. Now, here's the irony of the story. I love this. I love how God works. God says, you have got the best news, because people love to break the news about a child, especially in these days when it was such a big deal. To be able to break that news and then to be able to say, and he's the one that's going to be the prophet. But guess what, Zechariah? You won't be able to speak till he's born, right? You have the best news ever, and you will not be able to share it. Zechariah's mouth is closed, and he is silenced for months until the baby is born. And those around say, what is this child to be called? And Elizabeth says, it's John. They look at her like she's crazy. John isn't a family name. That's not a name that you would choose. Why would you pick John? And they look at Zechariah, and at that moment, his mouth is open, and the first words he gets to speak are, his name is John. And right then and there, in the joy of the moment, in the rejoicing of the birth of his son, in the announcing of who he is and what God is going to do through him, Zechariah breaks out in a song. He spends the first half of it proclaiming the goodness of God. Here's our God that is a God of promises and fulfills them. Blessed are we to have such a God. We rejoice in him and give thanks for who he is. Half of his song, this praise song. And then the second half of telling who John will be. This is the one that prepares for the Lord. This is the one that prepares for the Messiah. He is the one that will get ready for the coming. I wonder when the last time each of us broke out into song was. Not our tune came on the radio and we needed to sing as loud as we could. But when was the last time God interceded into your life to either help you through a difficult time, being there with his comfort and love, or a time when God showered you with blessings and was present with his goodness? When was that last time that you were reminded of God's presence? God's presence that we celebrate this season. He's Emmanuel, God with us, a God that would choose to come from heaven and onto earth to be physically present with us and has been present with us ever since. And when we feel those moments, and are reminded of that, do we break out in song? Do we rejoice in God? Do we sing of his goodness? Do we sing of his mercy? Do we share it in such a way that our faith is renewed and others are able to be encouraged through it? Because this is what God desires. I mean, we see it all through Scripture. We see it all through Scripture of God's songs being sung and recorded. We get Miriam's song. We get all of the psalms through the psalmists. We get Mary's song. We get Zechariah's song. These beautiful songs that sing of who God is. Because our God loves for us to sing to him. Whether we sing out of tune or perfectly in tune, he wants to hear our voice. He wants to hear it raised. He wants to hear the rejoicing coming from our hearts straight to his. We never know like these artists, like the Jeremy Camps and our hymnists. We never know that when a song that's coming from us, the way that we rejoice and allow our hearts to be poured out, we never know when it can be just what somebody else needs to encourage them in their journey, to remind them of the goodness of God, to allow them to find the calm at the end of a storm because of the witness that we give. My friends, I encourage you in this Christmas season to find where it is that God has intersected in your life, where God has been present, where God has been loving unconditionally to you, and then find your song to lift to him and rejoice the way Zechariah did, to open your lips and sing it to God. My friends, will you pray with me? God, we do have a song in our heart. We do have a way that we desire to praise you. We do have a way that we desire to speak of your goodness and to renew our faith in you. We just pray that you will open our eyes and our hearts to see where it is that you are intersecting with our lives, to see where it is that you are breaking through the shadows and shining light upon our lives. Help us to lift up to you our rejoicing, our thanksgiving, and our love for you, to allow our hearts to be open and for you to hear it. For this we pray in your most holy name. Amen.